Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Westcon Engineers Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Mehta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shlok. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vishal Mehta. On behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to Westcon Engineers Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the second quarter and half-year ended September 30, 2024. We have with us the senior management team of Westcon Engineers Limited, Dr. Santosh Sundararajan, Group CEO, and Mr. Somnath Biswas, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements, which are completely based upon the company's business opinion and expectation as of today. The statements made in this call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including the investor presentation, have already been uploaded on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I now invite Dr. Santosh Sundararajan to state his opening remarks on the company's performance for the second quarter and half-year ended September 30, 2024. Then we will open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Season's greetings, and I wish everyone a prosperous New Year. We are happy to report a significant growth in our overall revenue, driven primarily by our EPC segment. Despite a slowdown in the overall sector and a severe monsoon these few months in several parts of the country, the timely execution of projects and the smooth operation has led to significant improvement in our overall performance. We have achieved a remarkable 22% year-on-year revenue growth in H1 FY25. This focused approach not only boosts our efficiency but also fosters a culture of accountability and excellence within the team, ultimately contributing to our sustained success. Let me reiterate that the Ind AS accounting treatment in real estate can result in timing differences between the recognition of expenses and revenue, which has resulted in a decline in profit as compared to previous year quarter. Going forward, the outlook for EPC segment continues to stay robust, backed by a healthy and strong order backlog of 3,267 crore, which is four times the FY 2024 EPC revenue. This demonstrates a solid foundation for growth and for successful execution going forward. Out of the total order book, 2,781 crores comprises of external EPC and 486 crores comprises of internal projects. Approximately 82% of these orders come from government projects, providing reliable cash flow and ensuring swift execution timelines. We anticipate this momentum will continue in the coming quarters, backed by a strong and healthy order book. In terms of winning new orders during H1 FY25, the company has received new orders from PWD Sindhudurg for the construction of a medical college worth 332 crores and has also received a letter of acceptance from Mumbai Metro Rail Corporation at Kalbadevi for 57 crores. Our balance sheet has remained robust over the past 6 months, resulting in a significant increase in our bank guarantee limits. This enhanced financial strength provides us with the capacity to support further growth in our EPC division, ensuring continued expansion and success in this sector. Coming to the real estate segment, the market looks promising for us, and we intend to launch 2-3 new projects in FY25. Our first redevelopment project, Om Sainath, located in Santa Cruz, Mumbai, is expected to be launched in the month of December. The Powai residential and commercial project is also expected to be launched in early 2025. And other projects are expected to be launched in FY2026. This will contribute towards revenue in coming quarters, and we remain positive about our business prospects in the coming year. In H1 FY25, we achieved new sales booking totaling 22,152 square feet, generating a sale value of 14 crore and a total collection of 25 crores. We are optimistic about our real estate sector's trajectory. A strong pipeline of upcoming projects will strengthen our confidence in sustaining and enhancing positive momentum. We are committed to leveraging these opportunities to drive growth and performance. Lastly, coming to GMP business, we would like to inform you that all the divestment of its 100% equity stake in GMP Technical Solutions was announced by the board meeting held on July 17, 2024. The company has received the sale consideration of 157 crores against the transfer of 12,689 equity shares on October 2024. And on 10th October 2024, the money has been received. GMP Technical Solutions has ceased to be a material subsidiary of the company. As against the company's share of 157 crore post-tax and other allied expenses, we are expected to have a net cash flow in the range of 100 to 110 crores. This fund will be majorly utilized as growth and opportunity capital for both real estate and to create some assets for the EPC division, which in turn will be used as collateral for augmenting the EPC working capital limits. We are happy to inform you that CRISIL has upgraded our credit rating for term loan of rupees 725 crore, and the rating has been upgraded to CRISIL A minus stable for long-term facilities and CRISIL A2 plus stable for short-term facilities. This was from CRISIL BBB plus and CRISIL A2. The ratings upgrade reflects our sustained operational and financial risk profile driven by healthy execution of the EPC segment. The upgrades also takes comfort from the enhancement in working capital limit and also factors in the extensive experience of the promoters. Our healthy execution track record in the civil construction business and reputed client type comprising primarily public sector and government entities. This upgrade will play a crucial role in negotiating favorable interest rates in the company's favor. Coming to the financial performance of the company in Q2 FY25, let me start with the standalone numbers during Q2 FY25. The company reported a total income of 202 crores as against 176 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, with a growth of 15% year-on-year. In Q2 FY25, the EBITDA stood at 17 crore as against 25 crore in the corresponding quarter last year. The EBITDA margin was at 8% and a net profit of 8 crores in Q2 FY25 as against 20 crores in Q2 FY24. At a consolidated level, Q2 FY25, the company reported a total income of 202 crores as against rupees 174 crores for last year, with a growth of 25% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at 17 crores as against 25 crores in the corresponding quarter, and the EBITDA margin is at 8% and a net of 9 crores in Q2 25 as against 20 crores in Q2 FY24. In summary, our various initiatives are successfully driving growth of the company with a healthy order book in the EPC segment, an upcoming new project in the real estate segment, and a strong balance sheet, mainly focusing on solidifying our financial as well as market position. With all the above mentioned points, we are very much confident to grow ahead and achieve our goals. Furthermore, by the sale of GMP business, this divestment will allow us to focus on the core business operations, which is now well positioned. We are excited for the future and committed to using our innovative solutions and dedicated team to drive value and excellence for our stakeholders. With this, we can open up the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. I repeat, participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. The first question comes from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. The first question was, you stated that Om Sainath redevelopment will be launching in December. So have you got the RERA number and commencement certificate for construction in that project?
See, commencement certificate we are expecting within next 7-10 days. It is the thing, and then it will take another month to get the RERA. So that's why we are expecting to get it launched by end of December.
And the other project you stated which you want to launch in FY25 is?
Yeah, the power is very much under guard. We are just expecting the EC very shortly. So once EC is being done, because power falls under the parameter of EC, since it is more than 2 lakh square feet. So anytime in November, we are expecting that EC, and then that commencement certificate and RERA will follow subsequently. So early FY, early calendar year 25, the power is expected to be launched. So probably in the Q4 of the financial year.
Okay. Yeah. And any thoughts on how is the EPC business coming up and what is the new orders you are expecting, or how are you expecting FY25 to grow? In the generally second half is more orders or get more orders. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, so actually we have a target of 1500 crore order booking for the year, which we've been maintaining, and we have only achieved about 400 so far. So we do, have a backlog on that front. Partially also was because of the impending elections in the state. And so, we kept our order booking plans on hold for a bit. We would, wait for the elections, and then from December onwards, try to bag a few more orders in Maharashtra. Also, we were waiting for certain PG limits to come through. New assessment from our lead banker, SBI, which is also, almost at the final stage, will happen anytime. And with certain revisions of terms, our ability to bid will be better. But yes, we still have about 1,000 crore, 1,100 crore target for the year, which we have taken, and we hope to achieve, before April. In terms of execution, also the quarter three and quarter four are historically always much better than quarter one and quarter two for us. We've crossed 400 crores almost in, quarter one and quarter two as EPC. Our target for the year was 1,000 crores, and we are well poised to touch that target for this year. Fingers crossed, we should be achieving that.
And one thing on the current real estate projects, okay, is Good Life, what is the progress? Because the collection this quarter versus last quarter remains the same, and I think the sales are constant. So what progress are we in that project?
No, you're right. See, the reason that we in general have, constant or sluggish sales is primarily because we have not put up much new inventory for us to focus on sales. We have a few units left in Coimbatore, the first building, phase one, and then we have a few units in Talegaon and few commercial units in the Tower of Ascent project. These are the three projects where we have inventory which we are focusing. But the amount of unsold inventory is not so big for us to, continuously be scaling up sales quarter on quarter yet. Only after launching two or three new projects will we be having unsold inventory to focus on sales velocities.
And by when do you expect the completion of Good Life project and selling Tulip?
So Good Life, we have been completing in phases. We completed one phase last year. We will be completing one more phase this year. Tulips, again, two phases. One phase will be completed before March this year, and one phase before March of next year.
Phase one and two, what you are saying is Tulip, in the Tulip phase three also, there are two parts.
Yeah, there are two towers. The phase three is the biggest of the three phases in Tulips. So phase three has two big towers, Tower 6 and Tower 7. So Tower 6, we will be finishing in this financial year, and Tower 7 in next financial year.
Okay. Thanks for my time.
Thank you. We would like to remind all our participants, if you wish to ask questions, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. We would wait for a moment for the question queue to assemble. The next question comes from the line of Adesh Gosalia from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so thank you for the opportunity. So I had a couple of questions. The first one is with regards to the gross margins. We have seen a reduction in gross margins, so even I think quarter on quarter and even on a year on year basis. So any views on that?
Yeah, I don't think there is a, if you talk about, if you go on the segment analysis, the EPC gross margin remain unaltered, maybe 0.25 basis plus and minus, it keeps on happening, what kind of project contributing more revenue in the particular quarter. But EPC margin, if you look at it, range between 14.5 to 15, anything between 14.5 to 15% gross margin, it is happening throughout the year. Real estate, yes, it is happening as because this is the effect of Ind AS 115. Depending upon what kind of completion you are recognizing. So if you look at the standalone profit and loss, yes, obviously there, due to the impact of real estate in certain quarters, if you look at this quarter, real estate contribution is, in top line, real estate contribution is zero, almost zero. But whereas there is some bottom line expenses contribution coming from real estate. So that will impact in the bottom line in overall basis. But if you look at segment-wise, EPC remains stable and steady throughout the couple of, at least last 10 quarters or more, it is quite consistent at the range of 14.5 to 15%. Real estate, it keeps on moving depending upon what kind of revenue you are recognizing in that particular quarter.
Okay. And, sir, any view on the order book, or like since there are elections that have already went by in the first half of the year and now there are certain state elections that have happened and one like Maharashtra elections that are coming up. So any view on the order book and about how you are seeing this overall picture with regards in the second half, and also how has the month of October went by for us?
Prior to this, I think Mr. Himanshu also raised the same question which Mr. Santosh answered. This year we have targeted for the order book of 1500 crores so as to maintain that run rate and all these things. Out of that, almost close to 350 we have already backed in the H1. Yes, you are right that impending election for central and state impacted to some extent, but we are well confident that in Q, on H2 we'll be able to back another 1000 crores. So that bidding process and everything on and we are also with some margin realignment of working capital limit, we are expecting from the lead banker by November. So we'll be able to leverage more BG level. So we're well poised to back almost 1000 crore plus order. So our target, we are quite confident to achieve the target.
Okay. And so how about this Q3 has been right now? If you can just share some light. The previous month, how has it gone by, and if any short-term view over this quarter?
No, Q3 is going as per plan. Couple of projects, Moshi and police housing in Pune, and now Capgemini, all three have taken off. And so the billing trajectory on these projects, the S-curve is climbing. So month on month, the value of the bill is increasing on these projects. It's same as the case with Supol, Bihar. So Q3 definitely will be, in terms of top line, much better than Q2.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajendra Kulkarni from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yes. First of all, sir, I appreciate your resolve for your previous commitments and promises like disinvestment of GMP, etc. I just wanted to know company's view on the so-called third Mumbai which is coming up that is developed towards the Panvel region and other extended Mumbai area. How do you see the real estate market coming up in that area? And do you foresee any solid, durable business coming out from that area? So you are already in the Mumbai business. Though I feel redevelopment projects have their own limitations. To grow in a meaningful way, you need to start new greenfield projects in Mumbai, So please throw some light on the extended Mumbai region and some company's thought on it.
So we've maintained over the last few quarters that, we do not want to digress on our short-term strategies to do with real estate, which has been one, growth in Pune through strategic joint ventures in developed locations, not, you know, on the outskirts where we are still doing 50 or 100 acre projects, but closer to where development from the government has already reached. So whether it is 2 acres, 5 acres, we are looking for parcels which are ready to sell in Pune, similarly in Coimbatore, where we have a brand. And in Mumbai, this has been our new entry into Mumbai as far as real estate is concerned. We haven't done much in Mumbai in our past. And considering our company size and our size of our balance sheet, our ability to raise finance, we do not want to be, you know, aggressively jumping into a bigger game in Mumbai. There are enough players in Mumbai with bigger pockets who have done much bigger projects. We are therefore happy at this point of time taking niche projects in prime locations like Santa Cruz, where we can showcase our quality of construction, quality of design, which we feel is superior to, you know, a lot of the competition that is offering in Mumbai. And once we are in a position to execute these three that we have in hand, 2 in Santa Cruz, 1 in Powai, then, you know, we will see how we want to take our next steps in Mumbai. So at this point of time, we do not have any aggressive plan to look for big greenfield projects in extended Mumbai. But having said that, we have our own land in Thane, and so that we are working on, and that is also, you know, prime location as far as extended Mumbai is concerned. So by the time that land, you know, we had mentioned last call also, we are working on acquiring, you know, ring fencing about 20-25 acres road touch in that location. And once we reach that stage, we will, you know, deliberate at the board level what we want to exactly do with that 25 acres, whether we want to sell some or develop some.
Okay. And one more question. In the same real estate division, are you planning to launch any new projects in Pune right now?
In Pune, we have one project in Kharadi, which is, you know, yet to be launched. We hope to launch it in the next financial year. And we are in the process of tying up at least a couple more joint venture projects in niche locations, as I said. So if the tie-ups happen, then, you know, within 6-8 months, again, next financial year, we may be able to launch one or two more. But one is confirmed.
Two is confirmed. Eventually, one is that Panay Pashan Link Road.
Right, correct.
That is coming up with almost 1 million square feet. And another one is the Kharadi, which is 0.5 million square feet. So, next financial year, 25-26, you will see 2 launches of 1.5 million square feet in Pune.
The Kharadi project is besides the Tower of Ascent project?
Not besides the Tower of Ascent.
No, no, I mean, despite other, that is separate project.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, bro.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Ayush Gataria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I wanted to understand, as we have sold our GMP business, roughly it was 30% of our business previously. So how much will it be replaced by real estate business going ahead? As you have said, we'll be focusing on real estate business as well.
So if you see, our last year's consolidated revenue was in the range of, you know, 1,000-1,050 crores.
Right.
And this year, we are targeting to cross last year's revenue in spite of not having GMP in hand. So GMP had contributed about, you know, less than 300 crores, almost 300 crores last year, 270 odd, I guess. Towards that top line. So this year, right, that 270 would disappear from our consolidation, but still we have a plan to, you know, not dip our top line, achieve the same amount of top line, or if not a little bit more. Primarily that is driven by, you know, additional 200 odd crores that will come from the EPC segment this year. So what we are losing in GMP this year will be, you know, augmented by what EPC has scaled up, not yet real estate. But real estate project, the top line will start appearing in our books a couple of years from now. And so, you know, by the time we reach 1,500 crores, there will be good contribution from real estate as well.
Okay. And also, I wanted to understand, as we have decreased our margin, so from 14%, like last quarter it was 9%, now 8%. So as you are saying, we'll be buckling up on EPC projects and real estate. So where we can see those margins going ahead? Because in EPC, generally we have 14-15%. In real estate, we have 25% at EBITDA level. So how will be the, you know, blended margin?
So again, so what happens, unfortunately, when quarter-on-quarter, when we compare, just because of the real estate recognition not happening in a linear fashion, the consolidated or the standalone EBITDA margins keep going up and down a little bit. So that's why we provide segmental accounts or segmental analysis of our two divisions. EPC has been quite stable. With the growth in scale of EPC, we hope to achieve EBITDAs in the range of 11 and 12. Hope to get a PBT closer to our target is to reach step by step, close to 10 in terms of PBT. We are currently closer to 8. We would like to, with scale, hopefully this year we can touch 8.5, maybe 9, and next year we can inch towards 10 at PBT levels for EPC. That is an internal target which we definitely focused on, maintaining extreme discipline, monitoring our project, and controlling our margins. On the real estate side, the EBITDA as well as the PBTs could be exactly double. Again, as a blended, what is the contribution of top line from each division? That is what would give you your blended result.
Right. Right.
So even this year, when we are saying we'll do 1,100 crores, 1,000-odd would come. We are targeting about 1,000 crores coming from EPC only, and only about 100 crores coming from real estate.
Real estate.
So again, the blended margins would not go up much from EPC levels of 8. It might come towards 9. But next year, as the execution of these new projects that we are launching, the revenue will only start coming in 2 years, 2.5 years' time into our books. But as I said, when we touch 1,500 crores top line in 2 years from now, hopefully 250-300 comes from real estate. And so the percentage contribution of top line from real estate will continue to increase step by step from here, and so the blended margins also would go up. But I can only say that in general, you can take the numbers segmental-wise. Whatever numbers we are saying is what we are targeting to achieve.
Okay. Understood. Understood. And also, sir, currently we have 3,200-3,300 crores of order book, and execution timeline would be around 2 years because generally contracts are for 2 years. So, and you are saying 1,000 crores will be achieved this year. So 2,000 remains for the next year. So I'm not able to understand that.
So we are at 3,300 currently, let's say, and only 600 more will be achieved this year. 400 is already gone.
Right.
So 3,300 minus 600, we will come down to 2,700 if we do not book any more orders, right?
Okay.
Now, next year, we want to do, say, we want to achieve 1,200 and not 1,000, which means we should start the year with 3,600 crores in hand.
Right. Right. Right.
So that is why I keep saying that we definitely have a target of about 1,000 crores more of order booking by April to keep this growth story alive.
So roughly 25%-30% growth in order book each year we can expect, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And also, sir, on a bank guarantee and performance guarantee front, so how much is required for fund for because we have 3,700 crores order book? So that bank guarantee and performance guarantee should be given. So for that, how much will be required?
No, no. So for the order book that we already have in hand, the guarantees are already upfronted. So we do not require any more funds for providing guarantees for this order book. Where we would need, as I said, we have another additional 1,000 crore target for the year of order booking. And to achieve a 1,000 crore order booking, you need 5% PBG and, conservatively speaking, another at least 5%, 7% of advance that we would like to draw down to start those projects. So about 10%. So 100 crores of BG limit would have to be fronted over the next 6 months to achieve our order booking targets.
Okay. Understood. Understood. And one more question, sir. As currently we are more businesses coming from government projects, roughly 82%. So any plans for reducing that?
See, at a very strategic level, we would like to be at least 60-40 or 65-35 government to private. Now, one good thing is that as a composition of our total order book of 3,300, 400 crores odd is our internal order, which can be classified as private. So if you consider that, then the government order composition of the overall kitty is only about 70. Still, at a theoretical level, we would like to have this towards 60, at least, 60-40 and not be skewed towards one direction. But having said that, we at this point of time over the next 6 months, whatever best orders come, we will take. If it's government orders that is what we are getting, we will go for it. We will not be rejecting a good government order just to maintain, a ratio that we want to maintain.
Okay. And so also, as you mentioned, internal and external, so have you thought of any blended ratio for that as well? See, for like 10-20% from internal order book, 80% from external order book?
Ideally, see, as I said, we would want, let's say we want a 60-40 government to private. Now, in the 40 private, maximum that comes from my internal order, I am happy. It is better to be working for Vascon Real Estate as our client than any other private builder because, obviously, Vascon Real Estate is the best private client the EPC division can have. Our risks of, money coming in, BG risks and all the other risks are much better controlled if we are working for our own self. So, ideal ratio would be 40% coming from our own real estate and 60% coming from EPC outside. But that would take 3-4 more years to achieve, but we are working towards that.
Okay. And one last question, sir. Sorry for asking so many questions. So, we have already entered Pune, Mumbai and Coimbatore in real estate business. So, any plans for any additional city?
No. In the short term, short to medium term, no.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramaniam from Aryan Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions. So my first question regarding, we have received 157 crore for divestments. So what are the plans for the fund allocations for deploying those funds? My second question regarding margin improvement from 8% to 10% on the EPC business. What kind of initiatives we are taking to achieve those kind of margins?
So from the GMP sale, we've received a net cash flow in the range of, 110 crores post tax and post certain expenses, cost of sales, all of that being funded. Vascon would receive about 110 crores. In a very general broad level, we would be using about real estate projects with QIP hasn't gone through. So we have some temporary borrowing, which we will try and pay off towards the real estate and use a little bit of the funding towards launching the real estate. The balance 20-25% will be used towards EPC. We will try and create some collateral for EPC, which we can then pledge with the bank because we are expecting augmentation in BG limits with our rating improvement and, the continuous process with the bank. But once the BG limit augmentation happens, we would need collateral to avail the limits. So that is the focus as far as the fund usage is concerned. What was the second question? Yeah, 8 to 10% is yes. It's a challenge. The answer is, in two fronts. One is that if we can hopefully keep a healthy mix of order booking that we have skewed towards design and build projects, because that is where we are able to, add efficiencies on the drawing board by doing efficient designs, by, being optimal in our consumption and increase our margin 1 or 2 basis points. That is one strategy. Higher the design build projects we have in hand, higher our chance that we can pull this margin up from 8 to 10. And the second aspect is that scale is improving. We were, doing 700 last year, we're doing 1,000 this year, we're doing 1,200 next year. So our overhead, will get spread out on higher denominator. So that will also help us improve our margin from 8 to 10.
There is another aspect also that we are quite confident on the rest of it. Should look at what pre-COVID, but during the COVID kind of whatever the order book was having some kind of little bit competitive margin as compared to what we are getting today. So most of those order has been almost extinguished. So now whatever we are executing, having a quite a good range of healthy margins. So we are confident to the spread of overhead. As well as our finance cost is not going to improve. So it will be remain constant. So the absorption will be much better. So that is the way we'll move from 8 to 10%. The way we'll keep on increasing the volume.
Got it, sir. So you have mentioned about fundraising through QIP. So what is the plan? Like how much you are planning to raise and when it is expected to complete?
Yeah, as of now, we put QIP in the back side as because if you look at the market and all these things, we are not very hopeful to go with the QIP as because dilution of the existing stakeholder will be quite substantial with this price. So we are not interested to go for that. We are looking some other option, but in worst case scenario, the plan B, what we thought of earlier days, we will raise capital through debt and all these things.
Or through, you know, equity. See, the original plan was to fund real estate projects by project level equity. You know, when the prices of share price went up to 75-80, you know, we thought it might probably an opportune moment to do a QIP and raise 100 crores rather than raise private equity at project level. But now with the market again, you know, having fallen and, you know, we don't know when we will get back to those levels. We if we have to launch a couple of projects, we'll go ahead with the private equity path or short-term debt path and carry on our growth story rather than diluting equity compulsorily.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen J. from Sincere Syndication. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You are?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. My question also was on the line of QIP, which was being answered with the previous participant. So, my doubt was even in our share price in 75 range, how viable would this QIP be? As our credit rating is now being increased, why are we not going for debt? And I'm not seeing debt in books also of also high in a high range. So why are we not exploring debt as an option, sir?
Which option?
Rising debt as an option instead of going for debt.
No, no. So see, we've been very clear on our strategy. For EPC, we do have a certain amount of debt to do with working capital, about 60 odd crores which gets utilized. And we have then advances available to us from clients through BGs. And sometimes we do, you know, take short term, you know, 6 month, 8 month short term debt if that is a more viable option than using the advances available from clients. Because many of these advances are anyway interest bearing. Plus you have to put up your BG margins. So it's a call project to project, you know, how we fund. But yes, mostly these are short term debt funded only. On the real estate, there are two aspects to funding. One is the construction finance, which we are very happy to avail at low interest rates, which is when the project has been launched, the approvals are in place. You know, again, it's a short-term funding which may be extinguished by the project receivables within a period of a year or so. However, we are wary towards using NBFC high-cost debt at an early stage of real estate where we are, you know, at a stage of joint venture where we need to upfront the money to, you know, maybe pay the deposit to the partner or to get approvals in place, because there is always, you know, a huge delta in terms of timelines to approval in our country. And the interest meter keeps running and these are high cost debts. So that is the only debt we are wary about. You know, sometimes in real estate, we would rather part with a higher IRR towards an equity partner at a project level who will, you know, probably take some stock from the project at a discounted rate upfront rather than go for debt at a very early stage.
But keeping in view of that also, what you are talking, we are also exploring some kind of opportunity where if it is a structured debt where the front end is a very low kind of rate of interest and it is back ended to some extent. So then probably since all these three projects what we are looking for Bombay plus UIP are the aim for these three projects, since it is at the quite an advanced level of launching, so we are also not ruling out that debt option, but if we get that kind of structured debt, that content is very low margin, low rate of interest, and it is little bit back-ended, we are open to do so, and we are exploring that also.
All right, sir. Sir, one more question is similar to the line. Like, we initially planned for QIP of around 100 to 150 crores, and with the situation, as we explained, we are not going ahead. So whether our growth is getting hampered on this aspect, like the purpose in which we have initially planned for this QIP, whether we are going for the same targets or we are revising the targets based on the QIP, sir?
No. There is no change of target. Nothing is there, so growth will not be hampered. So we had the plan B on the place, because if you look at our current gross debt also increased, as because in view of the delay, we took some kind of debt from Arka Capital and infused that in the project, so that approval process should not get delayed or stopped. So that our timeline and schedule, whatever the launch, it is very much on the card. So there is no delay. And subsequent to that, that the part of the GMP sale proceeds, which we received, to some extent, it will be utilized to mitigate that requirement also. So our growth process will not be delayed.
Thank you, sir. The answer is my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, when I look at our FY24 annual report, sir, out of us, we have around 266 crores of receivables. Out of that, so 84 crores are pending for more than 2 years. So how much of that would be retention money? And so, I guess the 103 crore receivables from the GMP would have gone, I think, right now.
Retention kitna close to 65 to 70 crore is retention.
Okay. And sir, there is another line item of 97.7 crores that is retention money that is pertaining to EPC. So I'm not trying to understand why this, like you are saying, 65-70 crores is the retention, but also there is a line item where it says 97.67 crores is the retention money pertaining to EPC.
No, I do believe what my call is that if you're talking about that aging wise, that is six. But there is some current retention is also there now, which has been in every invoice, there is 5% retention is being dropped. So almost 20 to 25 crore is the retention.
Okay, so as on date, sir, how much would be the retention money and what would be the long term and short term bifurcation over that?
Mr. Madhu, does that answer all your questions?
I just was asking that. Sir, how much of retention money have we given as of date and what would be the bifurcation of the short term and the current as well as the non-current portion of it?
So if I look at that number, total receivable is 91 crore, but out of that 76 is the retention. That's what
okay.
The line items are note 10 I can look at.
And second question was, sir, we've given 62 crore loans and receivables to related parties where KMP have key influence. And so, what is this regarding? And what kind of interest do we earn on this?
So, that includes some project advance. It is doing that our project, whatever you infuse. So that includes that our inclusion in the Hawaii project. Those two have been infused over there.
Got
it. So that is lying as a project advance.
Okay. I think last few quarters you have mentioned that we do a QIP. So, are there any plans to go forward with that QIP going forward, or are we planning to keep it on hold currently?
We checked it on hold in view of the current market situation, market condition. Also, there is no point of making a dilution of the existing stakeholders' status. So, then as of now, it is on hold.
Okay, sir, my apologies, I'm joining late. Sir, just a final question, sir. I think we had guided for 1,000 crore EPC revenue in FY25, as well as 125 crore revenue from real estate. But sir, in our credit report, it has been mentioned that 850 crore kind of revenue will own on the EPC segment for FY25. So why is this why is the 150 crore difference between what we have said and what we have said to the credit rating agency?
See, we are always a little bit conservative in terms of our CMA and rating agencies are concerned. So there is no point of underperforming in any chance with the rating agency rather than overperforming what you are doing. So that is the policy even in all the CMA for the banks and all these things. We are a little bit conservative while projecting that number with the banks and rating agency.
Okay. So can we expect to be closer to the 1,000 crore that you have guided for on the investor presentation and like con calls?
Yeah, we are very well for that. If you look at H1, we already did 400 crores. So we are quite confident to achieve close to 600 crore in H2.
Okay. Sir, I wanted to understand, like we have guided, I think around 15% to 18% kind of PBT margin on the real estate segment. And sir, we also do our EPC. Sir, so is this including the EPC margin or is this pure play the marketing and the other developer kind of margins and the EPC margins are different, so that's why it looks lower than other players like Sunteck who have similar EPC as well as the marketing in-house?
I think, I don't know, it's very difficult to, as I said, you know, we are in two divisions. We are in EPC and real estate. I'll reiterate that in EPC, we are, you know, currently at around 8% PBT levels. We want to move towards 10% from here on. And that's a conscious attempt or strategy that we have with scale as well as with certain other ways of improving efficiencies. On the real estate, our gross, you know, our PBTs would come about double of our EPC PBT, would be in the range of, you know, 16%-17%. Now, how much is our blended standalone margin quarter on quarter or year on year would entirely depend on the proportion of real estate and proportion of EPC. At this point of time, you know, it's 90% contribution is coming from EPC, and so our margins would remain skewed towards EPC margins. Only when our proportion of revenue contribution coming from real estate increases will our blended margins go up. It's very difficult to compare with peers who are in both these businesses because it all depends, you know, whether it's a joint venture, whether it is land owned by them in the books traditionally, and what proportion of real estate, what proportion of EPC. So I think the best way would be to separate the two segments and compare EPC to EPC peers. And real estate at this point of time is contributing very little, but as it grows, then we'll start comparing it to real estate peers.
Sir, my question was more regarding, does the EPC margin that we have guided, is it excluding the, so I think on the EPC segment, we bifurcate what is the captive EPC project and what is the outside EPC project. So including the captive EPC project as well as the marketing that we do for the real estate segment, our margin would be combined of these two. So 8% and 16%, so it would be around 25% PBT level. Is that understanding correct?
No, in our segmental reporting, if you split the two, then, you know, the EC in our, we do not then consider our in-house EPC revenue.
Okay, so overall.
In PBT, that is in
funding cost.
Cost on our part, but in financial, that has been eliminated.
So your marketing costs and all go as costs of real estate, nothing to do with EPC.
No, sir, I'm not talking about cost, but I understand that the 15%-18% margin is the margin for that, and we don't take any kind of margin from the EPCs that we do for the in-house real estate. Is that understanding correct?
Correct.
Yes, yes.
Correct.
Okay. Sir, just to final few questions. Sir, what is the contingent and performance guarantee that we have given to banks on behalf of our group? That is around 228 crores versus 160 crores on a YOY basis.
I couldn't get it. Can you just repeat the question?
Sir, we have given around 228 crores of performance guarantee for our group companies to banks. So what is it regarding on the contingent liabilities?
There's only one. As of now, there is only one guarantee which was towards GMP. That will also be now released. It's released with the sale of GMP. So we do not have any guarantees henceforth that will be towards any of our group companies.
Okay. So, when I look at our balance sheet around, I guess, out of, sir, how much of this 228 crore would go away?
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Mr. Madhavan. So I think we'll get back to you. See, there will, we have a bank guarantee of more than 200 crores in the market to third-party clients. As far as GMB was concerned, how much is the value of our guarantee?
100
crores was the value of our guarantee towards GMP, which is now gone. You know, but even then, we will be having more than 200 crores of bank guarantee in the market to do with our EPC clients. I think the exact number we'll have to verify and get back to you.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, just a final question from myself. Sir, why is our cost of borrowing so high at around, I guess, 12.5 to 15% rate of interest? And what, when can we expect this to reduce going forward?
See, there are two aspects to our cost of borrowing. One is our CC limit, which is, you know, I think at around 9% from SBI, the consortium of bankers. But the other borrowing for us, we only borrow, most of our borrowing is, you know, partially collateral free, short-term borrowing to fund the launch of a real estate project or to fund interim funding of an EPC project for a few months. So consciously, I mean, these borrowings, even if they come at, you know, 12%, they are generally collateral free. And so that, you know, sort of benefits us. And that's why I think the overall skew is going towards 11-12%.
So can we expect some kind of improvement in our cost of borrowing going forward with the GMP coming in, as well as the, I think, Thane land monetization post-elections we can expect?
The cost of borrowing, I think, you know, although we would like to attempt to bring it down, but at this point of time, as I said, for the kind of loans that we look for, which are short-term loans in both real estate and EPC, collateral-free, they would come in that range of, you know, 12% only. So at this point of time, we do not have any real plans to drastically bring down the cost of borrowing going forward.
Okay, sir. So thank you so much and all the best.
Hello. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now hand the conference over to Dr. Santosh Sundarajan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I would thank all of you for actively participating in our call and tracking us, and wish you all a happy new year, and I'll see you again next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Ascon Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.